621 1320 WILS. Lawmakers here in Lansing working on reforming the benefits, or I should say the pension system, of Michigan teachers and future school employees. And my next guest says if we had dealt with this earlier, we could have an additional $1,600 per student for our schools. James Homan is with us, Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. James, great to have you on WILS today.
Hello, Mike.
Yeah, you've been looking at this issue for many years now, right?
Of course. We've been at this since 2011. An actuary had reached out to us and explained, you know, the problems that these government pension systems have, their ability to let government officials promise benefits now and pay for them later, you know, pushing the cost of today's government onto tomorrow's taxpayers. And apparently we're living in the future.
What is the financial situation for the Michigan Public School Employees Retirement System, MPSRS, I think it's called?
Yes, they've... For every dollar that they've promised employees to pay in pensions, they've only set aside 60 cents. There's a $29.1 billion gap. School employees are now accidentally the state's largest creditors.
Wow, okay. And so what is that doing in terms of funding for schools?
It means that just paying the interest on this debt cost around $2 billion a year. That's as much as we pay for our entire Department of Corrections. It's a huge amount that could be used to hire more educators, pay more teacher salaries, or you know, just make sure that the cost of today's government is paid by today's taxpayer.
Is this being handled by the state there or local districts?
So all school employees plus community colleges and a handful of state universities and libraries are part of a state-managed, state-mandated retirement system. They don't have a direct say in which benefits they're earning, whatnot, or any of the trade-offs that come with a retirement plan. And so this does have to come, these reforms do have to come through the state legislature.
Okay. And so what kind of reforms are being considered right now?
Right now, bills have been introduced that would offer new employees a 401k-style retirement benefit where they put in three and they get 7% from their employers. Now, on its face, that's more generous than the hybrid system that's currently being offered to new employees where they have to contribute up to 6.4% of their pay and their employers only put in 3.2%. But on top of that, the state also has to put in over 20% of payroll to start paying down these unfunded liabilities.
Now, what happens, because I know that the teachers' unions say, look, if we stop bringing new teachers into the system, they're helping pay into that system too, right? So what happens on that end?
Well, they're making a mistake about how this pension system operates. They're assuming that it operates like a pay-as-you-go retirement system, like Social Security, where you know the health system really is dependent upon new members. But instead, the way the pre-funded system like this works is that an employee works, they earn a little bit of pension, their employer sets aside money to pay for that pension as their working works, gets put in the pension system, is invested in the market, and those market gains pay off that retirement. So what you need to do in order to keep that type of system properly funded is make sure you use adequate assumptions about the future, things like how much is the market going to grow? What's the appropriate mortality tables that we're going to be applying? And time again, our state lawmakers have used overly optimistic assumptions.
James Homan with us, Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. So, what's going to happen if we put all new employees on the 401k-style plan? What does that do to the future of MPSRS?
So it protects the employees that are in the system that are currently earning defined benefit pensions. Same thing with retirees that are currently being paid by the system, because it stops you from it stops the long term ability to continue to rack up these unfunded liabilities that are threatened taxpayers and teachers alike.
You said $29 billion. Is that how big of a debt it is? $29 billion.
Yeah, $29 billion.
Even if we don't increase that, how are we going to deal with that kind of number?
Well, we're currently putting $2 billion a year into the system, and we're expected to pay 3.5% more year after year until those liabilities are paid down. That's our current policy. Like, that's not this reform. That's a real debt that we are going to have to pay, that we're currently paying down, and we're going to continue. This is kind of a two-pronged reform that needs to happen. The first one is to stop your ability from getting into this mess in the future, and that's the bill that's being considered. Uh-huh. And the second one is to work hard to pay for the promises you've already made.
Okay, so even if we stop new teachers from going in, it sounds like we're in for a lot of pain moving forward.
Yes, that's absolutely the case. This is a serious problem, and I'm glad to see that lawmakers are starting to treat it seriously.
Mm-hmm. And so essentially it means, what, less money for the actual education end of things? Or?
Well, so, you know, the paying for pension unfunded liabilities, it goes into the classrooms. Unfortunately, it goes into yesterday's classrooms. We didn't pay for them properly, and now we're having to suffer the consequences for that. And it's going to take a generation to catch up on the promises that we've made, and I want us to see us moving in that direction.
Mm-hmm. You say a generation, you're saying, what, 20 years from now we're going to be straight on this?
The state's current plan is to pay for this over the next 22 years, so it's a long-term problem. But I think that lawmakers and lawmakers that are looking at this reform in this budget are also identifying extra cash that can go into that system to further pay down unfunded liabilities. We've identified a couple $100 million to do that, and you know that's good. We owe $29 billion, so we gotta catch up on those unfunded liabilities. And putting money in the system now saves you from the interest on this debt, which is currently at 7.5%.
Jeez, is this the biggest debt that the state's facing right now, looking into the future?
By far. I mean, we're only carrying $2 billion, a little less than $2 billion now, of general obligation debt, you know, stuff that your income taxes pay for.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some special revenue funds, and, you know, those get up to, around $16 billion. But no, the teachers are our largest creditors, and they got that way by accident. And that's unfair to them, too.
And you said $2 billion a year out of the state budget goes to just pay the interest on this.
That's correct.
That's incredible. That's a lot. I mean, that's road funding, essentially.
It's out of the state budget, and it's also out of school districts. So, the state assesses contribution rates. It's earmarked some of its money to go to pay for these unfunded liabilities. But a lot of it just comes from whatever revenues are available to pay school districts. So their property taxes, any federal grants they might get, that all will get tapped to put into the pension system.
Any chance that the state might try to rework these obligations to retirees and change that end of things?
There's always a temptation to do that, but we would be constitutionally prohibited from doing that, and I don't recommend it. I think that when you made a promise and you knew that these were contractual rights going into it, that's part of the state constitution, you should take those obligations seriously. I don't want to see the state coming back and having to ask teachers to take retirement pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather see us catch up on the promises we've made. But I also want to change the deal going forward so that when we promise a dollar of retirement benefits, we pay for it then.
James Homan, Assistant Director of Fiscal Policy at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, right here on 1320 WILS. James, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
When we come back, we have another half hour, many more topics to cover. We'll get the take from the head of the unionized workers of the EPA, over 9,000 of them, get his thoughts on this 31% cut the EPA is about to face in his budget. What happens if that goes through? Also, we'll talk about your brain. New research finding that by being sleep deprived, your brain actually begins to eat itself. It is, well, it's frightening, but we'll find out what that means and how to avoid that from happening to you. That and more is next. Right here, you are listening to More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.